did somebody already send a Bitcoin to the future?
Yes, I think that was my brother.
Really?
Yeah, really. He sent through one Bitcoin to the year, past the year 2140.
That's crazy. He gave the world a private key?
Yeah, for the whole world to claim in 115 years. But basically, the whole world's got access to the private keys. It's going to be one Satoshi every 10 minutes. So he's given a reward of 100 million Satoshis. And in today's equivalent, if you extrapolate those values to how much that one Bitcoin will be worth, it would be trillions of dollars. It's going to be a treasure hunt. The whole world's going to be in on it because everyone's going to want the Bitcoin.
What about lottery miners? Do they work on this?
They all work. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Bitcoin Nova. Today, I'm here with Peter Dunworth, the founder of the Bitcoin Advisor and a wealth strategist for over 30 years. Peter helps families and serious Bitcoin investors all over the world move off exchanges and build collaborative self-custody systems that protect their Bitcoin for themselves and for their kids. Let's get started.
Hey, Stacey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming, Peter.
It's an absolute pleasure to be with you. I was just watching your work with one of my good friends.
Which one is that?
Jeff.
Oh, Jeff is your good friend.
Yeah. And
that's amazing.
I've got to say, you did a great job. I only got halfway through it, but I was very impressed.
Thank you. I'm so glad you liked it. He is such a great guy and he's so easy to talk to. So I had done the recording with him maybe a couple months ago, but I just re-released it as like a little more compressed version. So a little better editing skills over time. So I'm really glad you liked it. Thank you for watching it.
Yeah,
So how long have you known Jeff?
Probably a couple of years now, and okay. I just think he's one of my favorites, and having spent time with him, he is everything you'd expect him to be and more, like genuinely one of Bitcoin's best, and just very grateful to be able to call him a friend. He and his wife, Kelly, literally just beautiful people. He and his wife, I just find them inspirational to be around. They're just beautiful people who want to make the world a better place. And it's really hard ignoring that message, and particularly when you see it, it all sort of falls into place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's really nice when they're a couple and they're both really cool people that you can call them both friends. So when did you guys meet? Was it through conferences, or how did you guys meet each other?
I think just obviously being a fan of Jeff's for a long time, loved his book, recommended that to a lot of people, and then wanted, when he created Ego Death, the family thought it was a great idea to support Jeff's endeavors to push Bitcoin. So the family made an investment in his Ego Death Capital, and that's been great getting insights into, you know, what he's pursuing and what he's doing, and really just an excellent advocate for Bitcoin, and has some really deep insights as to what is going to move the needle forward. And I think his message is, I think, the most pure out of all mm-hmm. us Bitcoiners. I tend to focus on getting rich because I don't think anyone's interested in Bitcoin until they can see the dollar signs. But, you know, that's just, you know, the Trojan horse that gets them in the door. And then once they're in the door, they realize there are all these other ancillary benefits to Bitcoin. And, oh, you mean it does all this other stuff too that I care about? Yes, it does. So that's the fun part.
You're right. It is the Trojan horse that it gets people into it. And then they realize how incredible it is and how much it's changing the world. And just hearing about, you know, your talks. I've heard a lot of your talks before, and I've been a big fan of yours and how you put things into perspective in such a great way, just from knowing how Bitcoin will take over, you know, markets and and how you can picture its growth. It's hard to imagine, you know, the exponential growth of this, but I think you do a really great way. You have a really great way of, you know, putting that into perspective for people. So I do remember hearing your interviews and thinking, you know, this guy is incredible, you know, so you do a great job teaching people that. So good job with
far education. Too kind. Far too kind.
No, it's great. I mean, I'm and that's why I'm so glad you're joining me here. It's so cool that you and Jeff are friends. You're both really incredible people and you have a huge voice in the space, and you're doing great things as far as your company too. So I would love to, you know, kind of hear how that all started first a little bit. Like, how did you move from traditional finance? You know, you were helping with investing before you got started with Bitcoin, and how did you find out about Bitcoin? Like, who got you into it?
Oh gosh, this is a tale I'm reluctant to tell, but I do like telling it because it's a cautionary tale that we all have that opportunity to buy Bitcoin at extremely cheap levels. I was introduced to it by my brother, who told me to buy Bitcoin at $3. And sadly, I was too full of my own esteem to give him any time to listen to it. And I told him that, you know, when Bitcoin back in 2011 was $3, I told him that that would never work. Government's going to shut it down. Oh, there'll be a new Bitcoin because it's technology. And then 5 years later, I just capitulated and bought some. But I was very fortunate that I had him being very patient, telling me about Bitcoin. And all of my concerns were answered, all of the fear, uncertainty, doubt that I thought would, you know, that all of us go through. Because it's funny, you know, the path to a Bitcoin maxi is a well-trodden path. And so what's very amusing about this is, everyone who's trodden that path knows that everyone's going to end up at the same place they are. It's just a matter of what experiences are going to push you down that path and beat you up along the way. And so, sorry, back to how we started doing what we're doing. It took 5 years for me to buy Bitcoin. And being an advisor and telling people how to invest their money, I don't feel comfortable telling people to do, you know, basically do as I say, not as I do. I'm not that type of person. If I'm endorsing something, I want to have skin in the game. So I feel exactly what everyone else is feeling when they're doing it. And back in 2016, we started advising clients to put 2% of their net assets into Bitcoin. And that came with a whole list of disclaimers and disclosures that we had to put, literally 4 pages worth of disclaimers saying, look, you can basically lose everything you put into this. We're acting in good faith. We're doing our very best, but this is an unknown quantity. It's an unknown technology. It's developmental at best. Basically, put in what you're prepared to lose, and we're going to do our very best to make sure you don't lose what you put in. That's how it started. And yeah, we were helping clients buy Bitcoin because back in those days, you couldn't allocate significant amounts of capital to it. And I was very fortunate with my brother who had an exchange. We could allocate whatever amounts we wanted to get the exposure that we needed. But the second problem that came about with this is, sadly, there weren't many great self-custody options out there. And our clientele were typically baby boomers with very large amounts of wealth. And the idea of teaching our older clients to self-custody their Bitcoin on a little USB device that they had no idea about, let alone what the seed words were and everything else, seemed very risky. So we left, we used Coinbase to leave it on there with sort of a vault arrangement, which had three signatories on the account. And that was the best we could hope for until multi-sig came along. And then that completely redefined self-custody for what we were delivering to clients, because now all of a sudden, we could deliver a self-custody option to a client. And even if they had no technical expertise whatsoever, we were able to help them self-custody their Bitcoin and ensure that they could never lose it. And having a fiduciary duty to clients, that was my number one concern, that I don't want to be advising clients to do something and then having it cost them hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars because we haven't given them the appropriate level of care. And then along comes Unchained and Casa with their multi-sig platforms and allows us to hold one of the three keys for clients. And so with Unchained holding a key and us holding a key, it made irrelevant what the clients did with their key. So we were able to give them self-custody and provide a framework that had 0 points of failure, that if they literally mucked up everything we did for them, they still weren't going to lose their Bitcoin. And that's really all I wanted to deliver to clients. So that's where we started back in 2018, and fast forward to 2025, we've got clients all over the globe.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I think that hearing about multi-sig, like, I didn't realize that's how you started with having, you know, doing your own separation of keys until multi-sig came along. But I kept hearing about multi-sig and I kind of understood it, but I didn't really care. I just thought, you know, I'm self-custodying. That's all I'm doing. I'm not going to learn about this thing. And I think it's so important because, again, there's a huge barrier to entry for people who want to get into Bitcoin, but they're terrified when they've heard stories about people losing their key. And then it's something that once you learn about it, which I'm glad you did that for me. I was able to talk with the team and understand what multi-sig is. So I love that you guys actually explain to people who are interested in learning about this way of self-custodying their Bitcoin. Because it can be really scary and you don't want to risk it. And you also, you want to be able to, you know, you believe in Bitcoin and you don't want them to lose it. You know, so you're trying to figure out a way, and it's perfect because, I mean, I just didn't understand the whole, like, how the keys work and you need 2 out of 3 keys and the no single point of failure is huge. Combined with the fact that you do inheritance planning, which is something that I think most Bitcoiners don't think about. So if they self-custody, you know, they just think, you know, I'm doing the right thing. But what if nobody knows how to access that Bitcoin? God forbid something happens to them, then it's gone forever. You know, so if you don't have a backup plan or some kind of inheritance plan, which you guys do offer, and it's incredible to hear that you feel a weight lifted off your shoulders when you know that you can actually have a solution to a problem that just kind of weighs on you and you're just afraid to acknowledge and kind of think that it's a reality, really, you know, that you should think about these things.
The Bitcoin Advisor helps you understand collaborative self-custody for your Bitcoin and why it's important. Scan the QR code on the screen for more info or click on my link in the comments. This isn't just fashion, it's signal. Wear the message and plant the idea. Use my link below for 10% off your order.
Because, yeah, imagine how much more Bitcoin would get lost if a lot of people didn't have a backup person that knows the seed phrase and guards it with their life. And even for huge companies, like you said, you manage large amounts of wealth all these years. And I thought about that when I was thinking about companies. There's, you know, Bitcoin treasury companies coming out every other day. You know, there's always a new one. And when you think about people that are cold storage only, meaning, you know, hold your seed phrase, a company can't do that. You know, a company can't trust one person.
Yeah.
And that makes so much sense, because if you want this mainstream adoption, and if companies are going to hold Bitcoin on their balance sheet, one person's in charge of it, they could take off with all the Bitcoin for the whole company. So you really need to have that set up, you know, for people who are actually putting large amounts of capital into it.
Yeah. You need a disbursement of responsibilities on that. And to one of your points earlier, what we find, and this is where I just want to preface what I'm about to say by saying, if you're self-custodying Bitcoin, congratulations, you are one of the very few who actually do it. And that is the ultimate. And I'll just say that there's no solutions, only trade-offs. And part of the service of what we deliver is peace of mind. And in a very strange way, when you can, through not trusting but verifying that there's no single points of failure in your self-custody setup, even if you're not here, literally even if you've passed away, a very strange thing happens for our clients, in that it is a psychological unlock for the family as a whole to rally around and find more resources to put into Bitcoin. And ultimately, right. that's our goal. We want to help people get more Bitcoin. And yeah. when you take away that fear or the uncertainty, the doubt that people have about self-custodying their Bitcoin and give them a foolproof system that allows them to self-custody it. However, mm-hmm. in the event that the Bitcoiner in the family passes away, there's an avenue to recover it, then that makes it far more amenable to the non-Bitcoiners in the family. All of a sudden, the responsibility that they have to recover the Bitcoin is gone because they've got a team working around them. And mm-hmm. and this is, I think, the magical part where there are some great companies out there doing wonderful things on the self-custody front. And although I consider myself in that, we're not considered that from a purist perspective. But one thing I will say is that having the system that we've got set up is far more amenable for clients actually getting more Bitcoin because it solves arguably the biggest problem in the family, which is what happens to my Bitcoin if I'm not here? And that's ultimately what we want to help with is we want to help more and more people get Bitcoin.
It's a great solution. I just think that it really is a fear, and you're right. It's a hesitation that people have because they don't want to allocate more to it because they just think of it as more of a gamble and they wonder, well, I could lose it all if I have, you know, if nobody knows how to access this, it's gone forever. Mm-hmm. So for people that have a huge amount or want to put more into it, it's perfect. And even if you think, I mean, thinking about it in the way where, I guess maybe 4 or 5 years ago, possibly if you had 20 or 25 Bitcoins, you might've told somebody you should look into multisig, which I had no idea what this was for 4 years ago. But now if you have like one Bitcoin, it would be a good idea to self-custody. But in 4 years from now, you know, the people that are accumulating Bitcoin now, even if they're not thinking about it yet, as the price goes up, it was mind-blowing to think about because how quick this thing can grow and how much you're allocating toward it, it could just be that percentage of Bitcoin that you want to make sure you secure as the price rises. So it's just something that maybe that $1,000 today doesn't seem like something you think you really need to secure, but as the price rises and it grows, you know, you're going to want to make sure you don't lose it. So
great.
Yeah. It's a really great system. And if you could maybe just explain a little bit for what people don't understand about multisig and, you know, try to simplify it for people so they understand what happens, like what multisig is and why it's, you know, it prevents, like why you can only send Bitcoin with another key type of thing.
I think for me, back to the no solutions, only trade-offs, multisig represents the very best that Bitcoin can offer because you are not beholden to a single key holder for the points you made earlier about the corporate structures. Having one person responsible for moving the corporation or the family or the entity's Bitcoin is sometimes a huge security risk, particularly if that Bitcoin is in the millions of dollars. And I've got some fairly bullish outtakes on, you know, what the price of Bitcoin is going to be in the future. And I think if anyone's holding even a modicum of Bitcoin now, it's going to be worth a small fortune. And so preparing to have that secured in the best possible way, I think, is the prudent thing to do at this point in time. But back to multisig, there are a whole number of benefits afforded to multisig, but one of the interesting things about it is that you need, in the simplest of multisig setups, you have what's called a two of three. You're effectively having two private keys and three public keys. And that they call it a wallet configuration, is basically where you send your Bitcoin to based on the three public keys. But in order to move your Bitcoin out of that vault, you need only two of the private keys, but you need all three public keys to reconstruct that wallet. Now, what does that mean? Probably the simplest analogy for this is having valuables stored at a local bank that has a safety deposit box. When you turn up to a safety deposit box, the bank has a key and you have a key. And without both keys turning at the same time, they can't access your safety deposit box. So it's a very interesting situation that Bitcoin really is like a safety, multisig with Bitcoin is like a safety deposit box for your Bitcoin. You need two of the three people with keys in order to sign a transaction and move it. And the beauty for me about this is that this gives you protection against phishing attacks, scams, sending to the wrong address. It gives you protection in the event that you don't wake up tomorrow. So there's an inheritance protocol that's built into what we do, which is arguably the most important part of any Bitcoiner setup, is having that, what we call an inheritance protocol, where you can basically follow a bouncing ball to recover your Bitcoin. And a little time ago, I gave a presentation on how to recover your Bitcoin from the grave. So if you're no longer here, how, you know, what are the measures that you've got to take in order to do that? And Bitcoiners at the best of times are nothing short of paranoid. And it's really important to have redundancies for absolutely everything that could possibly happen to your Bitcoin. And this is where I've spent the last 10 years basically focused on, how do I protect my clients' Bitcoin from any mishaps, misadventures, malfeasance, theft, scams, phishing attacks. And you know, where we've fallen to is having a collaborative security environment using multi-sig allows us to avoid all of those concerns that I previously mentioned. And from a track record, probably professionally, one of the things I'm most proud of is, over the last nearly 10 years giving advice in this space, we haven't lost a single Satoshi using this collaborative security, which to me at the end of the day is the most important thing. Because the amount of, sure, the clients make an investment, but they also make an emotional investment and an investment in time and curiosity to learn more about Bitcoin once they've gone down the rabbit hole. I can tell you that the majority of my clients, where most of their learning comes from, or what they spend most of their learning time on, is finding out more about Bitcoin. And ironically, I think that is one of the most important things that a Bitcoiner can do, is learn more about it. And to the point, or to labor that point, the more you know, the more you buy, because we all have our fears and concerns around Bitcoin. But you go and you learn about what's your fear of the day around Bitcoin, you do a deep dive on it, then you realize, oh, that was really a nothing burger, and actually this system's far more robust than what I previously thought. And then with that little piece of knowledge, coupled by the fact that you know you can't lose your Bitcoin, it's like, well, all of a sudden it's a reasonable conversation to have an assessment of what your other assets are and then how they compare to Bitcoin, and whether or not you should still have your fifth or sixth investment property, or your second or third one, or your stock portfolio, or your bond portfolio, or the gold under the bed, or you name it. You know, basically choose your own adventure when it comes to what you should be having via Bitcoin. And you know, from the my experience, it's very hard, you know, assessing everything else via Bitcoin. You just end up buying more Bitcoin.
Yeah. And when you think about it, you know, the more you learn about it too, it's like the more you learn, the more percentage you're prepared to allocate toward it, because you feel more comfortable. And when you think about property, you know, people that have multiple properties besides the house they're currently living in, you know, they're actually spending money on taxes and upkeep of the property. So you realize that Bitcoin's a better store of value too, because you're not wasting that money. You know, and I think that just being able to put it into a place where you know you have that backup plan. Yeah. And it's like it went from being that 2% that you would suggest to people to being what now? What do you suggest to people on average? Like, do you have to wait till they know more about it, or how do you gauge how much you advise people?
I think it comes down to life experience and really understanding, you know, what has been the best and worst investment a client's made and why. And with that single question, you can triangulate why Bitcoin is really good and why the other investments are really bad. And without being facetious, there's only one time that I've talked a client out of buying more Bitcoin, and that was when he said his wife was going to divorce him if he bought any more. So we've got clients who've got 100% exposure to Bitcoin, and they live on a Bitcoin standard.
That's crazy. Yeah. So it's that's the only time you're like, hey, okay, fine, lay off, because you don't want to ruin your marriage over this. You're already living on a Bitcoin standard. Pull out.
Lose the battle, win the war.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. It's crazy, because if it wasn't for this solution that you had or came up with and offered to your clients, you know, you wouldn't be comfortable telling them to put more of their capital into it. You know, you wouldn't feel like, it's not like telling a friend, hey, you should buy Bitcoin, just put $1,000 and sit on it. It's not like it's $1,000. It's like people are putting massive amounts of capital, and you're advising these people. And you want to make sure that you're able to offer them that security. And that's why it's so important, because you know that Bitcoin is the best. I mean, I would say, you know, it's the best place to put your, it's the best tool for the job. But you want to be able to feel confident. Like you said, you've never lost any Bitcoin. Like, none of your clients have lost Bitcoin. And it's because of those phishing attacks and all that stuff. Like, when you use a collaborative custody system, you know, it takes out the impulsiveness of somebody just logging into something accidentally, trusting, you know, anything that they shouldn't trust, anything that's asking them for a seed phrase that they might not be thinking that day, and putting it in and making the biggest mistake of their life. But it's if you were to contact your Bitcoin advisor and say, hey, I want to do this with my Bitcoin, then you guys would either, you know, it's like you have two heads in the game. You're telling them, no, why would you log into that? You have us to help you move it. You know, you don't need to use this other system or whatever it is you're trying to log into. And it isn't for the people who just want to put the Bitcoin in and take it out every other day. It's for the people who leave it there and let it grow, because you do need to wait about 24 hours to get both those keys together. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. And yeah, that's the feature, not the bug. A lot of people think, oh, I want full control over my Bitcoin 24/7, 365. And I think that's wonderful in a, you know, in a utopian environment, but we live in the real world, and I can tell you from a personal front, I don't want to have 24/7, 365 access to my Bitcoin. I want it really hard to get to. I don't want to be able to access it on a whim and not move it. I want it to take a serious amount of consideration and time in order to move it, because what I've found in the last 10 years, talking to friends who have run exchanges, my brother who has as well, fraud in this space happens at speed. So if you don't have to do anything, and this is where cold storage Bitcoin is the ultimate, then you don't have to do anything. You just relax and let time take care of itself. And that's the beautiful thing about Bitcoin is, and this from an investment perspective, I find very, very unique. Bitcoin is tarred with the brush of being really risky and volatile. And when people say that, they don't understand what Bitcoin is from a fundamental perspective. And they confuse or conflate risk with volatility. And what I find really interesting is that if you can remove the risk of self-custodying your Bitcoin and ensure that you've got a fail-safe setup in self-custody, then that is the ultimate form of risk-free asset. Now, it's still going to be volatile, but you just solve the volatility of Bitcoin by a duration. You just hold it for a lot longer than you would previously, you know, than you previously thought. And because we're at all-time highs, that's been the ultimate way to solve that problem.
Yeah, and I think it's very interesting too, because well, there's two stories that recently remind me of the Bitcoin advisor, because the one story was because a friend of ours lost his Bitcoin. He actually lost his Bitcoin, and it's because, you know, part of me thinks that, you know, you have such a secure cold storage device and you think, I have the best one out there that everybody says is the best. But in the future, I think there's just going to be more and more attempts to steal your Bitcoin and use institutions that people trust. Because what happened to this particular person was, it was an app store app that supposedly, it was a replica of the app he was using on his desktop. But he was tricked, and it was because he knows, he's been a Bitcoiner for a long time. He knows not to share your seed phrase, but I think he just thought his device was so secure, and he thought it was an institution he trusted to download the app from. And he didn't think there was a fake. He thought they'd do more vetting, you know, so he thought, if it's asking me for it, it's you know, I trust the company. Of course, I'll put it in, I guess.
Yeah.
And that was a huge mistake. So I can see that happening more and more as time goes on. I could see more people getting manipulated or not thinking if they have the ability to just do that with their Bitcoin right away because they have full access immediately. It's a scary thing to think that there would be more, you know, if it's not a phishing attack, like a link that you click on, it could be something that it just makes you believe you could trust it and then just input those words, which is terrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I think this prevents a lot of that because, you know, you wouldn't need to be downloading any other software if you have custody solutions with your company, you know?
That was a really sad situation. And from memory, that was downloading of the Sparrow wallet, which is an institution in Bitcoin, in Bitcoin terms. And that was a really sad situation. And I feel bad talking about this, but Multisig would have solved that problem if they were set up like in a collaborative security environment like we have. Because even if they were a client of ours and input those details into the Sparrow app, which was a scam, there's nothing sitting on that single seek device that they're putting in. And that's the feature of multi-sig and collaborative security. And that's just a very sad situation. Hopefully it's a learning experience for a whole host of other Bitcoiners out there who haven't upgraded to multi-sig or collaborative security yet. But my heart goes out to that couple. I think I'm aware of the couple that it was that it's just a very, very expensive learning experience on that. And you know, it looks so legitimate. I went to the app store to have a look at it and sure enough it was there. I was like, wow, that
And they said it was there for months and it got removed not long after like the story broke, but it's had a history of coming back, you know, and it hasn't just stolen his Bitcoin. It's stolen about, God, I don't want to say the number, maybe like 200 Bitcoins or something like that. Like maybe like over 100 for sure.
Wow.
You know, so it wasn't just one person that fell for it. It was a lot of people that fell for it. And you know, that's what you think is, and then after the story came out, you realize, well, that Sparrow, you know, application that you download on your computer doesn't have a mobile version, but nobody realized that until after, you know, the mistake happens. And yeah, you're right. If you had that multi-sig setup, even if you put your portion in, it wouldn't do anything without the other half, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that is a crazy mistake to happen, but it was also, you know, a lot of awareness, and he wants to just make sure it doesn't happen to other people because it is, and that's really why it's perfect timing that I'm finding out about this and it happened to him, and why I want to kind of, you know, why I want to give people more of an option, because even he said himself after it happened, you know, he was even like, because everyone's like, okay, we're gonna help you, you know, even however you can, support wise, you know, even if somebody wanted to, you know, donate to a Strike wallet, whatever. But we were asking, how are you going to secure the Bitcoin this time around? And he's just like, I don't know. I don't even trust myself.
Yeah.
And I think you get to this point where you're just afraid, you know, that it would happen again to you and all this, you know? So it's one of those things that people start to think, well, do I just keep it on an exchange then? But that's not, you know, what you want to do, because now you're trusting an exchange not to go under. And the thing about multi-sig is, from what I learned, is let's say, you know, Unchained Capital is a huge company, your company is huge. But if one of those two companies, let's say something happens to it, then you still have the key from the other company, you know,
correct.
So you still could take that out and put it into another multi-sig solution. So there you have this way to take it out if something were to happen to any of the two and be able to move it, you know? So, and it's something that it's an awareness for people, because as much as I think we preach, I kept saying it during, like after it happened to him too, we preach self-custody so much. We tell everybody cold store your Bitcoin, you know, right. You know, have your seed phrase secured, and that's fine if you want to do that. But again, who's going to be able to have access to that if something were to happen to you? Also, it's just one of those things that we don't as much as we preach self-custody, there isn't as much awareness, even for people who have been in Bitcoin for a long time. Don't trust anybody with that seed phrase. And it's a really hard thing to do because you accidentally fall for somebody like that who is on purpose trying to manipulate you. So, you know, if you are going to preach self-custody, you have to constantly ingrain it into people's minds. Never sure that seed phrase. You know, it's one of those things. If you're going to do it, you know, you have to be ultra paranoid and have backup, you know, backup plan, like for not wanting to have that Bitcoin get lost in the abyss if something were to happen to you. That's just a huge thing that I just never, I mean, I've thought about, but it's not something that it's like people want to just put it to the side and just not deal with it because it's not something they want to actually admit that is a fear of theirs, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And on that couple, I've got to say it was an extremely selfless gesture sharing that story and bringing the Bitcoin community's attention to that app. And I think there were a whole host of contributions made to recovering that on behalf of the community, but it was an extremely selfless gesture for them to share their story and that moment of vulnerability to for the benefit of the broader community too, because no doubt that would have created a big honeypot for further scams to take place. So
I mean, it was
they shared their story.
I'm glad they did. I'm so glad they shared. It was hard, you know. Obviously, it was. They're brave. You know, I'm thinking about how they even did that. You know, that's so brave to do because it had just happened. Like, I think less than a week prior to when they joined me, but it was incredibly hard to do, and they were really brave doing it. And I am so proud of them because of the awareness that they're spreading so it doesn't happen to other people, but also because we wanted them as a community. You know, we had all become friends, you know, over, you know, since probably the last less than a year or so. But a lot of us became friends, you know, online through the Bitcoin community. And when we found out it happened to him, we thought, you know, if there's any way that we can contribute anything, you know, just to help keep your hope alive so you don't just give up, you know, you have kids, you know, you want to just keep going, you know. So, but there was a little bit of mostly very positive support, very thankful people to be aware of this situation. But when you did get those few negative people, you have to think, who cares? Because people judge, you know, and people were thinking, well, why is he, you know, asking for donations? It wasn't his idea. It was our idea. Like I kept trying to clarify that. I'm like, the community that supports him came up with a plan to say, hey, if anyone wants to, we think it should be done. And we kind of convinced him to do it, you know, to start the GoFundMe. But we also asked him to share his Lightning address for Bitcoin people who would want to share whatever it is. And yeah, it was hard to do. And he didn't want to do any of it. He was just so, obviously, him and his wife, the whole family, like they were just torn up. But the fact that they did it, yeah, it really spread. This awareness spread more than, I mean, I thought maybe it would just reach a small group, but you kept hearing people on Twitter, you know, people making YouTube videos, large accounts talking about fake Sparrow wallets, and people were just, it made waves, you know, people heard about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really good to hear that people can be rescued from that type of a situation or learn about self multi-sig in that case, because it really gave me a terror that I hadn't felt in Bitcoin when that happened to him. Because it wasn't just, it was one of those things that you think, oh my God, that's like your worst nightmare as a Bitcoiner. But it did it. Like, I know everyone wants to pretend that they're, well, I'm so, like, they know everything. They're so secure. They're so safe. They have protection. They would never, all the people that were writing stuff, like, I would never share my seed phrases. Like, yeah, luckily it didn't happen to you and luckily you didn't fall for it. But you can't be that egoistic to think that it wouldn't have happened to you, because it happened to so many.
Yeah.
But it really did send or it still does. And I think that's why the perfect timing to learn about multi-sig at this exact moment, you know, it just lined up. So, and then that way I can share it with people.
It's a great job messaging that, because the heartbreaking thing about that is, for any Bitcoiner, we all go through so much to understand Bitcoin and really get what this is on a very deep level. And that would have represented presumably years of hard work and toil to get to that level and to have that ripped away from you. And this is where I think it's just very selfless of that couple to share their story in the hope that it prevents that happening to anyone else in the future. And sadly, it will happen to more people in the future, but this is, I guess, a great opportunity to say, hey, really look at your self-custody setup and ensure that there are no single points of failure. Ensure that you set up in a way that is going to avoid that type of thing happening. And this is where, I'm extremely grateful to the community as a whole, Bitcoin community, because they've been so supportive and helpful with everything that we're trying to achieve. And I think having the intent to get every Bitcoin off exchange is obviously an unattainable goal, but it's an honorable goal within the Bitcoin community to achieve. And then coupling that with helping clients get more Bitcoin, I've got to say on a self-satisfaction level, is a really wonderful thing to be doing as a 24/7 day-to-day job. Helping empower people to take self-custody of their Bitcoin and change their lives by simply buying Bitcoin and holding it it's a wonderful place to live.
And to see that you're taking that weight off of people's shoulders like that, like they don't have to feel that burden and that fear, and they could allocate more to it, and you feel better that they're doing better with their investment, but also that you can feel good that you're helping them not be terrified while they're doing it. So it's such a great thing. It's very rewarding, and it feels, it energizes you. Like you said, 24/7. 24/7 is something that in this space, you think if you did any other job 24/7, you'd be run down, tired, depressed, But when you do it in Bitcoin and you do 24/7, it doesn't matter. You're like, contact me, I'm here. It's energizing. It's crazy how this group, this world, this new network that we're all on, it does make you feel alive, like you're not drained by it at all.
Yeah, it's I've got to say it's fun. To share a story, I went to the local bike shop the other day and had a chat to the owner and a couple of staff and talking about basically buying Bitcoin and doing it in ways that aren't going to affect the household budget through pensions and things like that. And anyway, I had a great discussion and they said, yeah, okay, we're going to think about it. I said, just take action and do it. Doesn't cost you anything. It's non-household expense. Why not just jump in? And the owner said, why don't you buy another bike and then we'll do it.
So you did? You're like, deal.
Not yet, but I will.
That's funny. You're like, okay, fine. You twisted my arm.
This is what I've got to do to get you to buy Bitcoin.
Yeah. And to make you actually, do something for yourself that I'll be happy about and I get to benefit. So it's like, oh, I guess I'll have to do that. Make that sacrifice. Yeah. That's so funny. I love it. There's just so many cool things that are changing about this space. But I love that the timing just is so right to be able to learn about this and share it. And just seeing what an impact, it can make, spreading awareness as, a newer podcaster and talking about Bitcoin, sharing their story is something that it brought awareness, but also bringing awareness to this topic to maybe teach people a little at a time that could also teach others that, you could do a little bit of self-custody if you just really want to be that Bitcoiner that just says that they do it. And maybe they have a backup plan. They know somebody who they're giving their seed phrase to in case anything were to happen. But I just think that when you have kids and you have, even if you don't have kids, you don't want that Bitcoin to go, as some people say, I'll take it to my grave. I don't care. It's like my contribution to the network. I get it. That's fine if they say that. But I just think that why not just donate it to somebody who could save their life? I don't know, like just to find a way to pass it on. But I just love so much how, even him by sharing that story, it was crazy because you find other people that have had similar things happen to them. And then even the people that reached out to him, I was blown away by the amount of help, not like sending Bitcoin, not financially. I mean, yes, that was great too. People did did do what they could, you know, and to show support in their way, any way that they could. But it was their time. People donated their time to him and to give him advice and to see if there's anything they could do as far as, you know, pretty much holding those accountable that should have taken better care to not allow things to happen. So I just think that there's a lot going on that I don't know too much about yet. I hope one day we can have another episode and talk more about what's been happening with his situation. But I know that there's so many like talented Bitcoiners that have a lot of, that are angered by this, you know, not just have talent. They're reaching out to him because they feel bad that it happened to him, but it could happen to more Bitcoiners. And we hate scammers, you know, being a non-crypto person, like we're not into, you know, other crypto and we're not into gambling and we don't like scams and rug pulls. So anyone that does this to kind of one of ours, it's something that people want to donate their time to and help however they can.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. So I was like really happy to see that. That made me feel like, I don't know, just hopeful, but just, I think in the Bitcoin space, you just see so many good people that, again, doing this type of thing for them, it was energizing, you know, yeah. To say, even though this was a terrible thing that happened, and we feel, everyone probably feels the same fear I felt, because you think, you know, I can't even tell you, like, I was sure of how, you know, self-custody is going for me, but when that happens to someone you know, it sends like a shiver, you know, you're just very afraid all of a sudden. You think, wow, I thought, what if I ever made a mistake? What if this happened to me? You know, so, but people that just felt that probably also felt that pain for him. And then to be able to do whatever they could, whether it's even just any sort of support they could offer for whatever skills they have, it makes you feel a little bit better that you're sort of helping and all that stuff. So,
yeah, I've got to say the Bitcoin community has been so good to me and so good to our company, our advisors. One of the things that we wanted to do as a small gesture to give back, in the hope that everyone can improve their self-custody setup, is we give away all of our IP for free. So we don't want, you know, the cost of our service, because we need to be remunerated for our time, but we don't want people to have substandard self-custody setups if they can't afford what we deliver. And for that reason, we give away all of our IP for free. All of the resources on the website are there. We've created a ChatGPT bot to answer any self-custody questions, because, you know, we believe, well, firstly, we're eternally grateful for this Bitcoin community, because they're everything that you describe. It really becomes a family. And, you know, we wanted to give back as a way to support those who aren't in a position to pay for our service. We don't want that to be a hindrance for them improving their self-custody. And so we've developed all of these resources for the broader Bitcoin community to take advantage of. Whether or not they want to pay us for it or not, we don't mind. We just want to, you know, if you're in Bitcoin and you've worked this hard to get here, we want to provide all of the resources that enable you to keep it and secure it long term. So hence the reason why we give it all away for free.
That's incredible. I didn't realize that. So that's the whole thing about this group of people in this network, is it's like an open source thing. You're sharing what you do. If people want to learn it, they can do it themselves, which is incredible. It's not a selfish thing. It's like you want to share knowledge with others, you know. So the only thing is that there will be people who will still choose, no matter what, to not go down that road and learn, even though it might not take very long to learn, because again, there's people, all different types of people in Bitcoin. There's a spectrum of people. There's people that are very technical and people that have no idea how to use any USB device. So so even though you offer it, there are those people that could take advantage and learn something new and do it themselves. And thank you for sharing that with them. And then there's other people who just do not want to even think about how to do that. So they are happy to just have to pay that fee and custody with you. And that fee is small compared to traditional finance, isn't it? I think it's like a, like it's almost like the price goes down over time, or how does it work? It's it's a 1% fee, I think.
It is. It's a 1% fee that it starts at. But the important part about this is that over time, the fee reduces by 25% after the first 4 years. And then it reduces by another 25% on the original fee. So within 8 years, you're half the fee. And I don't know any other service provider out there who halves their fee over an 8 year period of providing service. Typically, the fees go up through time, but ours literally half in an 8 year period.
Yeah, that's incredible, because it just shows you the upside down of the traditional system, because the traditional system, everything's inflationary, prices go up, interest rates go up, everything, costs go up all the time. But when you're in Bitcoin, everything is deflationary. Like everything gets cheaper for you on a Bitcoin, in the Bitcoin world. So it just shows you that you can have, because at the same time, as the fees are going down, the Bitcoin price over time, it rises, you know. So, but it's just incredible that you offer options for people, because there are so many different types of Bitcoiners that choose to do it a different way. And I'm so relieved, you know, I'm so relieved after hearing this happen to him, to my friend, and it's happened to others who've lost Bitcoin over the years. You know, I've heard that story recently where the guy that was searching that, you know, what was it? The landfill finally gave up his search after 9 years because he threw away his laptop. That's, you know, I was just thinking it's going to be some cool story where he finds it one day and it was intact. But sadly, he had to give up that search, and that's terrible. But it's one of those things that, you know, I feel so relieved that there's options for people. Like I can tell my clients, you know, at my salon, because, you know, that's my job. I work at a salon. But I can tell my clients to get into Bitcoin and feel like I can actually give them an option to speak with somebody, to speak to the Bitcoin advisor, to talk about multi-sig, where they don't have to even think about the worries of trying to self-custody, you know? So it makes me feel a relief that if somebody does want to allocate bigger into it, because normally they have the fear, they just put a little, they won't go too much, like you said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What an opportunity for you doing what you do. 3 hours, your client's sitting in the chair, they can't go anywhere, they've got to listen to you.
They don't have a choice. It's so funny. And I do ask them, you know, because, and most of the time when I start talking, because I tell people the topic comes up constantly, because everyone's always, you know, we're in a happy mood, we're talking, you know, whatever, but the topic of how expensive life is comes up all the time. So, and if it's not me telling people about Bitcoin, it's my mom that I work with that promotes my YouTube channel. She tells them, like, make sure you watch Stacey's channel. And I'm always like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, here's it. And I write it down for them. They're like, oh, I didn't know that. I'll follow you. So she's like promoting for me if I'm not talking about Bitcoin half the time. But even if I do get started, I get so carried away. And yes, they are with me for 2 to 3 hours sometimes, you know, if it's a woman's hairstyle, it takes a while. So, and I feel like sometimes I tell myself, I don't even want to get started. I'll just tell them about my channel and they could go watch videos and learn. So that way I don't have to get tired talking about the same things. But once I get on the topic and I pause and I ask them, like, can you tell me if this is ridiculous? Like, please stop me. I'll stop right now. And they're like, no, I had no idea about this stuff. You know, they're very thankful and they're grateful. And it's usually at a time where they're feeling like they're stressed out, or they're feeling like their business is suffering, or different things are going on in their life where they're worried about it. And it's actually like they feel like the timing is just right. Like it was meant to be that they came in and we started talking about this for some reason. And it was that day that I decided to just talk for 3 hours where I couldn't stop, you know. So it does feel rewarding to be able to do that, you know, because it's like that ear to the ground kind of thing. And, you know, then they can go and tell their friends, you know. So it's like if I'm planting a seed with some people, then they can spread the word, you know. So it's not just through social media or YouTube, it's actually in person. And it's funny because people think of their hairdresser as their therapist, but now it's like their financial advisor too. So.
That is such a powerful place to be. I look at that and think, what you mentioned there, a lot of the time, people don't come to Bitcoin because they want it. They come to it because they need it. And what you just described there is the case in point particularly in the Western world, mm-hmm. we've got a great banking system. We've got really good property rights. Yes, they're abused sometimes, but as a whole, they're the best in the world. But then, you know, people find themselves in a pickle, and what they're looking for is really hope. And that conversation mm-hmm. you just mentioned, where people are having a hard time, Bitcoin becomes a need, not a want. And that's when mm-hmm. people find Bitcoin. It really is hope.
And there's one lady who was even telling me she had a juicing business. And she was telling me that it was going great and she was so happy. And she's like, I love my business. It's awesome. And she's telling me all these great things about her business. And then she starts saying how she was tired. She goes, but I'm working so hard and I'm working harder than ever. And I'm making like less money. So then I started explaining inflation to her and I got onto the topic of why that happens. And she started to just, her eyes opened up. Like, she's like, oh my God, no wonder. Like, why? Because I love what I do. I love my business. But I feel like I'm just running on a never-ending treadmill and I can never catch up, you know? And she just didn't know. Like, people don't realize that there's a root cause problem. And it's something simple. Like, if I were to probe a little bit further, like, she thought, I'm just telling you about how great my job is and how much I love juicing, like, the juicing business. But then it gets a little more like where I'm the therapist and they start telling me, but they're stressed out and they're too tired, you know? And then it gets into Bitcoin after that. So it's just kind of crazy.
You will have thousands of clients. Thousands.
mm-hmm. I'm like, it's so funny. They were even telling me I should hold a class and teach people about how to get their Bitcoin. But guess what? Now I don't have to do that. I could just tell them to call the Bitcoin advisor. So I don't have to try to figure out how to tell. Because it's a lot of these people, I hate to say it, but a younger person, okay, they can figure out, you know, a new device, a new phone, this and that. But a lot of the clients, I come into work and the first thing that happens is there's two people running up to me. Stacy, help me figure out what happened on my iPhone. And I'm like, why is that my job? Like, I have clients waiting and I have two random, like, either it's a worker or somebody else. Like, how do I fix this? Something happened on my phone. And that's on me now. Like, I have to be the tech person too. So I think if I were to tell them to get Bitcoin, I'm not going to expect them to self-custody Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just something that it would be, again, more than a 24/7 job. I think it would be I don't know what it would be. It would just be my entire life. And it wouldn't be energizing. It would be draining, I think. So, yeah.
Well, we'll take good care of anyone you refer to us. And we're grateful for anyone you send our way.
Yeah, that is going to be my new thing. I'll just have the QR code on my phone. So I'd be like, here, take a picture of that so you don't have to worry about a thing. So hopefully I can get some people over there that, and feel like they don't have to worry about they don't have to feel like they're gambling, you know, a certain amount of money that they might lose. You know, this is, it's a great situation. So I'm excited. It feels like a relief to me. And it feels, you feel relieved that you're helping people. I feel relieved that there's options. And for all those impulsive people out there, you know, there's so many people like me, I'm impulsive. But I just, you can be your own worst enemy, right? Is that what, you know, when it comes to Bitcoin, and that's how I think a lot of people lose it. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to tell you, I know if you have anywhere to go or any other meetings after this, I'm sorry. But there was one other, the second story, which I just, you know, took a big, walk around the block on this one. But he was my other guest who I wanted to talk about time locking because he is a guest who had his Bitcoin on a hard drive, not like the guy that lost it at the landfill. He actually took his hard drive out and saved it in a shed in a box. And he forgot that he ever bought Bitcoin.
Mm.
And then when he actually did recover it recently, it wasn't too long ago that he recovered this wallet. It was intact. He was able to extract the Bitcoin. Amazing story. But we were talking about how that's like a time lock situation. And I thought that would be kind of cool if you can describe what that is to people, because I wouldn't do such a good job on that. But it was like his Bitcoin was just in a time capsule, pretty much. Like, it was just sitting in a shed. And if he did have access to it, he probably would have sold it 100 times over, you know, in the last 14 years.
What a fortunate place to be. Not only leaving it there for so long, but not accessing it and then recovering it. Like, it's just that's a beautiful story. What's interesting about Bitcoin and time locking is, I guess he did that physically. He time locked that physically, unbeknownst to himself, but you can take a more conscious approach to time locking your Bitcoin. And this is something that I find really curious. And from an estate planning perspective, long-term planning perspective, the ability to time lock your Bitcoin and do that digitally is really, really quite an amazing technology. And let me just describe this as, say at the local bank, they've got a time lock safe. So when you enter the correct code, it basically might have a 2-hour window before it actually unlocks and lets you access it. Well, Bitcoin has a similar feature to it in that you can time lock your Bitcoin for a certain period or number of blocks in the block height. And so you can secure your Bitcoin for literally hundreds of years if you want to, where you can't access it for that period of time. And now there are two types of time locks. There's the time lock that you can access it and unwind it. And then there's a time lock that even if you have the private key, you can't unlock that Bitcoin. It basically ends it once you time lock it. It literally is like in a suspended state where it's not in this wallet in today, the present term, and it's not in the future wallet until that block height is achieved. So, or in that period of time. And so I guess for those people, for those amongst us who have trouble saving, this might be the ultimate savings tool where you just save, literally you throw a Bitcoin 10 years into the future, knowing full well that you can't touch it for 10 years and you hope that it goes up significantly in value in that period of time. And then regardless of what your behavior is in the near term or the intermediate term, you're going to have a Bitcoin sitting for you when that time lock is unlocked and expires. So I think there's a whole host of ramifications for the use of time lock in Bitcoin when it comes to a planning perspective, financial contracts, all sorts of things when it comes to estate planning as well. And this is a really underdeveloped feature of Bitcoin that is, I guess, is unique to Bitcoin because no other asset has the ability to do this. And what's interesting about the time lock function is no legal decree, government mandate, or court order can unwind this time lock once you set it in motion. Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting to think about, on the scale of authority, literally our man-made structures that we have hold no authority over the ability to time lock your Bitcoin and cryptography. So in time, we're going to see more and more of it. But I think the opportunities with this are endless.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about it, like Bitcoin in a suspended state. Like it didn't reach, it's just hanging out in cyberspace, not in one wallet or the other, just almost like like a time traveler, just waiting before it lands at its destination. It's mind blowing to think about, but it kind of reminds you of a CD where people would put money in a CD and they couldn't access it for a certain amount of time because, they're getting this interest rate or something, except for, I don't know if CDs could be touched by a government or confiscated or whatever, but it's like, this is literally suspended in no real place until it shows up where it does. And that would be an interesting thing for people, like for their kids, for their future. Because sometimes, again, being your own worst enemy, you could have Bitcoin and accidentally sell it. Not accident, whatever. Lose it, sell it. You could do all sorts of things in that time, thinking it's the right decision. But actually not having access to it. And just, it's like the ultimate savings tool. Like you're not allowed. Your greed isn't allowed to touch it. Your impulsivity isn't allowed to touch it, like none of the stuff that humans are really bad with. But that's why my guest was so funny, because he unknowingly time locked it because he didn't even realize he ever bought it. So it was incredible. Yeah, I mean, that is one of the coolest things I've ever heard. And like you said, it wasn't just that he found it, that he was able to extract it. How was the device? He said it wasn't in a climate controlled environment. It was in a box in a shed with a bunch of other hard drives. Like, how did it last? First of all, and then just the fact that even he said he didn't even know how to get it off, and he didn't want to ask Craigslist. You know,
one of these words mean, and it would have been three words probably. It was pre-BIP 39. He said he didn't even know.
Right. He goes, I didn't even know if there was Bitcoin on it. I just thought it was from the date that I would have probably bought the Bitcoin. So it had to be this drive. And it was like the Linux drive or whatever he was using at the time. But he didn't know if it was even on there. But then he just so happened, it was like fate. He went to some fest and somebody was there who was there talking about wallet security. He was the CEO of a company that he actually asked him because he goes, he seems trustworthy. He's not just someone off of Craigslist I'm asking. But he sat on that hard drive for like 5 months before he actually got the nerve to ask this person. And they actually extracted it for him. And now he's created his own company, which is incredible. And it has multi-sig options for people. So it's just a beautiful story. And it's like a Bitcoin Cinderella story. It's really cool.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's just, and it does remind you of time locking. It's incredible. So I don't know how this is going to play out going forward, but I think hasn't it already been done once? Like, did somebody already send a Bitcoin to the future?
Yes. I think that was my brother.
Really?
Yeah, really. He sent through one Bitcoin to the year, past the year 2140.
That's crazy.
And he gave the world the private key.
He gave the world a private key?
Yeah. Yep. So now
I don't understand this.
There's a Bitcoin suspended for the whole world to claim in 115 years.
So the whole world at once can split it and claim it?
Well, they can, but basically the whole world's got access to the private key. So I did some rough numbers.
It's almost like whoever...
Yeah, whoever mines it will win that Bitcoin. And what's really interesting in that block reward era, every 10 minutes, say at the moment, every 10 minutes it's 3.125 Bitcoin or 450 Bitcoin a day. But in that era, it's going to be an entire day's worth of mining rewards is going to be one Satoshi every 10 minutes. So he's given a reward of 100 million Satoshis. And in today's equivalent, if you look at the daily block reward, it's roughly 450 Bitcoin. But in, I guess, dollar terms, that represents roughly about a $5.5 million bounty per day. But if you extrapolate those values to how much that one Bitcoin will be worth in 115 years, it would be trillions of dollars, probably enough to pay off the US national debt.
That's insanity.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Wow, that's so cool. That's going to be like the treasure, you know, how people like
literally, it's going to be a treasure hunt. The whole world's going to be in on it because everyone's going to want the Bitcoin and it's going to be worth trillions of dollars.
It's almost like a combination between One Piece and what is that movie with the gaming where they're in a virtual world and they're trying
Ready
to win
Player
a prize.
One.
Yes, Ready there Player we One. Go. Thank you. I couldn't think of it. I was having like a brain freeze. Yes, it's like pirates trying to get this treasure, this One Piece, and it's like the one Bitcoin, and then it's a Ready Player One combination of the future, what that would look like.
Yeah.
Everyone trying to compete for this prize. That is such a cool idea, and what an awesome thing that he did. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So it's not just sending it to your kids. It's like you could send Bitcoin through space and time to another, to another block or something. Is it going to be whichever person mines this block, or is it going to be landing in a wallet?
Well, it's going to be landing in a wallet, but the person who mines the block first finds a nonce and confirms it. So they'll have access to sweep the wallet before everyone else.
What about lottery miners? Do they work on this?
They all work. Yeah. It's going to be the world's greatest lottery. It'll probably be the biggest amount ever, but it's...
Imagine every podcaster saying this 100 years from now when our YouTube videos are still out there. They're going to look back and hear about this time-locked Bitcoin.
It's going to be fun to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so incredible. That's so cool. So do you have any... I mean, obviously, your price prediction, if I were to ask you, because talking about what one Satoshi compared to a Bitcoin would be worth when that day comes, is it's like it's like exciting, and it's something that you realize is inevitable, but it's also, I mean, impossible to kind of comprehend also at the same time. But where do you see, I don't know, people always ask for price predictions. I just want to know if you have one.
Yeah, I think it'll be in the billions of dollars in the next 20 years. And in the next 10 years, I think it'll be 100x from here. So over 10 million US dollars a coin.
Yeah, they better get some of it and get some Bitcoin advisor to help them out.
We'd love to help anyway, but it's funny. Yeah. People hear that and think that's outrageous. But I can tell you that we've, you know, since we advised clients in 2016, we've got clients sitting on nearly a 200x return. And that's been in less than 9 years. So fast forward to where we are now. Do I think it's outrageous to think that we're going to have a 100x return, nearly half that in a longer period of time? No, but a lot of people just don't believe that that's possible because they've seen the price go up so much. But they're going to be in more disbelief when they see it just continue to rise and rise and rise through time. And I guess the message to everyone listening is, you know, you're not too late. There's still a 100x return in it over the next 10 years. And if you haven't taken action by now, hopefully this is the message that you receive to pull your finger out and go and get some.
Yes, exactly. That is so incredible. And that's such a great point. This is, you're not too late. You know, when you even mentioned before about how when your brother, I think, was buying it, the one who did the Bitcoin time lock thing. So when your brother was buying it, you were saying that there wasn't, you couldn't put that much capital into Bitcoin without making the price swing too far. So I think a lot of capital couldn't be added to Bitcoin. Now they say you can do billions of dollars a day and it doesn't really swing the price of Bitcoin. So, and still I've heard that some companies or corporations still won't touch Bitcoin until it reaches a million because they need that much exposure to it to really matter to them, I think.
I think
don't know if you've heard that.
No, I have. And I think there's a whole host of companies and entities out there that aren't going to touch Bitcoin until it's $1 million of coin because the market cap needs to be significantly bigger than what it is now. Yeah, because if they're applying, call it $100 billion to a $2.5 billion market cap, they're going to be swinging the price around dramatically. And with these institutional traders, money, the thing that they look at, the first thing they look at after they've decided or they're looking at the investment and the opportunity or sizing it, is they want to know that they, not only can they get into the trade, they want most importantly to know they can get out of it. And so a $2 trillion market cap in the global scheme of things is not really that big. But what's interesting is as Bitcoin gets bigger, this then becomes the thing that they can trade in and out of with ease. And so that is actually going to attract more capital at a time when there's going to be less and less Bitcoin available on exchanges. So it really is the ultimate setup for 100x in the next 10 years.
Yeah, you're so right about that. That's so true. I mean, it's. I'm trying to just recap what you just said. Yes, but as the supply is dwindling, you're going to have that much more capital flooding in because they're able to, you can't do that with these other cryptos. You can't just put in that kind of money into another crypto and be able to take it back out. There's not enough liquidity there for you. But with Bitcoin, it's going to become more attractive as there's less Bitcoin available. That's crazy. So that's me trying to make sense of what you just said, trying to repeat it to myself so I can kind of process it. I think that's why I do that. So, well, thank you so much for joining me. I loved this talk. This was incredible. And I appreciate your time. And I love everything you're doing for Bitcoin and, you know, open sourcing your information for people who want to do it on their own, but just offering this type of relief for people, this weight off your shoulders feeling that you can allocate more to Bitcoin and not be scared.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate everything that you do. Thank you for having me and allowing me to spread that message. And I look forward to watching your success in the future.
Thank you so much.
Great to be with
you. Have a great day. Thank you, Peter.
Bye.